Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Film Club podcast. My name is Jason.
And this is Rudy.
On this week's podcast, we're going to be reviewing Steven Soderbergh's latest film, Contagion. I'll also be having a mini-review of the film Warrior. So that's pretty much what we're going to cover this episode. How's everything been, Rudy?
Everything has been A-OK. Work always keeps me busy. I have fun, I guess, when I need to have fun. Today was my first day off. Since last Monday, I guess. And my grandmother, she asked me, oh, because she sees me getting ready, going out the door. She goes, I need you to do me a favor before you leave. Can you pick up your little sister?
From school?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was already headed out the door, and I had like an hour and a half to kill before I need to pick her up. So I did my little errands, and then I picked up my little sister. But like on my way to her school, I see this really cool. It's like this secluded little park in a residential area. Uh-huh. There's this abandoned railroad bridge, and right next to it, this little park. In the middle of this park is like really the only thing to play on is this big red like net, the structure of like red nets.
Okay.
So like it looked like a really cool like spider web palace thing.
Okay.
So like I knew, man, I want to play in this thing, but I probably shouldn't play. You know, this grown ass man shouldn't be seen playing on this thing without a kid. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, okay, I'll just bring my little sister back over here, uh-huh. And I have an excuse to be on it. So I pick her up and we go back there. And there's all these other little kids playing, but I didn't care. I was like, look, I brought a kid, I'm in the club. So I started climbing this thing and whatever. I was having fun.
Were their parents there?
No, I think these kids were with this big brother.
Yeah.
And he was just sitting on the bench. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how old these kids were. They were probably like, I don't know, anywhere between 6 and 9. It was like 3 little boys and a little girl plus my sister. But and these kids, they're playing like tag it or whatever, and they're cursing each other like, you bitch, and like whatever. I thought it was hilarious to hear these little kids cursing. Mm-hmm. But they're still having their fun, whatever. It made me feel like a little kid again just listening to them. Anyways, they all left, and I think I like climbed the highest structure of the thing, and there's only one in the middle of this structure is this like trampoline like surface. Other than that, that's the only solid surface. Like everything else is just netting. You have to like climb everything.
Yeah.
So I climbed the highest structure and I jump to the middle, and it's like a pretty far jump from like the tower I was on to the middle.
Yeah.
When I landed, my right foot hurt a lot, but I got over it and I did it again. Anyway, so after we played on the net, my sister and I, I told her, I want to walk home on this railway, this abandoned railway.
Yeah.
And she was so scared, she didn't really want to do it, but like, come on, it'll be fun. So, and it was cool because, like, when we were playing on the netting. Yeah, the netting. We kept calling it like the Spider Queen's Red Palace because it was awesome, and then she made an analogy to Coraline. And as we were hopping over the fence to go to the railway, to the train tracks, the abandoned train tracks, it's like, oh, cool. We're continuing our adventure on the. On the Forgotten Railroad, that's what she called it.
She said that?
Yeah. So we're going down, and she's getting worried because like she doesn't see any way to get back down. It's like, yeah. Oh, don't worry about it. We'll find something. We'll find an opening to safely get down.
Yeah.
But by the time we got to where we needed to go, there was still really nowhere safe for her anyway.
Yeah.
But you had to climb everything. So we ended up climbing over this fence. I climbed over first, and then I was telling her to climb up too, and she wasn't. She was being scared, so I had to climb up on top of this garbage can. And so I was waiting for her at the top. It's like, okay, now climb up and whatever. I guess when I grabbed her, she thought I would do all the work.
Yeah.
So I was trying to pull her up, but then the garbage can gave way under me. So I fell, and she grabbed onto the top part of the fence, but the top part of the fence was sharp, so she punctured her hand
pretty bad.
And she just jumps back down to the ground, and I look at her hand, and she's holding a pool of blood in her hand. And she's just crying, like, no, it's going to be fine. So I take off my jacket, and I wrap it around her arm. And I mean, cuts happen, you know, but she was really crying, but like, you know, I was just trying to keep her calm. It's like, you know what, this type of stuff happens, so relax and deal with it, and it'll go away, you know, all you gotta do is wash it, bandage it, and it'll be alright. But, yeah, she was just being a baby about it, but I don't know, because my whole mentality was, you know, just man up. I mean, yeah, I felt bad that happened to her, but, you know, shit happens. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Yeah, come on, like.
So the moral of the story is don't let Rudy pick your kids home up from school.
I guess.
Anyway. Oh, I have a funny story to tell. It's not as long as that one, but that was a good story. That was a good payoff. Surprised. But, like, I'm unemployed right now, so I've been looking for a job. Actively looking for a job. And, I applied to this place that I never even heard of called LaSalle Power Company, which is like a, I don't know, it was like for a server position. I applied,
LaSalle Power Company?
LaSalle Power Company, it's like a retarded name.
It's a restaurant?
It's, I'll get into that. But, so I like applied about a week ago on Craigslist, just sent in my resume. And I think it was a place where you had to send your photo to.
Yeah.
You know? I think it was like a restaurant, bar type thing. But, so they like called me, just afternoon, saying, hey, can you come in for an interview, like, from 5 to 8 today? I'm like, alright, I'll come in. So, I went downtown, found a place on LaSalle, and, like, by Illinois and Grant, whatever. And, I went to it, and it's like, it was like a multi-level thing. Like, I had recalled seeing the place, not knowing what it was, but I had recalled seeing it. It kind of, like, looks like a it has, like, a movie theater marquee and whatever. Well, whatever. It's a 3-4 place that has, like, kind of like a bar on each floor, you know. So I go in, ask some Mexican dude who doesn't speak English, like, where should I go? So he sends me upstairs. And it was a really cool-looking bar area, and there's a lady sitting there. She's interviewing some dude, and she gives me an application and says, you know, just go start filling it out, whatever. I'm filling it out. She finishes with the guy, and she's like, you know, are you done? Like, come over, you know. I'm like, oh, am I done? She's like, oh, don't worry, just come over, you know, just come talk to me first. So she's talking to me, and she's basically like, well, you know, this is... Well, she asked me about kind of like about my experience, you know. And I told her, you know, I was a server for a Lobster, but I never really worked in like a bar setting or anything. So she's like, well, basically, I got to tell you, like, we're just basically looking for male servers. We're basically looking for male servers, and basically they have this thing on the weekends, Friday and Saturday, called Thunder from Down Under. So I'm like, I mean, it had already clicked in my head, like, what was going on here, but yeah. I just wanted her to elaborate. She's like, yeah, pretty much, like, you have to walk around, like, in a G-string in order to get the job. So she's like, is that something, like, that you'll be comfortable with? And I'm just like, no, it's just not the thing for me. But, like, after that, I kind of had her elaborate, like, oh, so what kind of place, like, I've never been here, like, you know, what's up with it? She's like, oh, just women come here, like, you're going to be, like, doing it for, like, 200 women and stuff like that. So it's just a place for girls to have fun or whatever, but... Yeah, I just thought it was pretty funny that, like, I didn't know that's what it was, and so it's Thunder from Down Under, Fridays and Saturdays, if you ladies are interested. Yeah, that's my story.
you should have, well, you don't got the Thunder from Down Under, come on.
I don't think I do. I tell my friend Chris, and he's like, oh, tell me where it's at, I'll try to get a job there. I'm like, you would, you whore, but whatever.
You whore. But, dirty whore. Hey, what time being a whore is fun? I wouldn't know.
Yeah. But I guess moving on, we're going to get to our review of the week, which is Steven Soderbergh's Contagion.
It was a groundbreaking ceremony for a new factory.
Did she mention seeing anyone who was sick? Anyone on a plane at the airport?
No, she said she was jet lagged.
The average person touches their face 3 to 5 times every waking minute. In between, we're touching doorknobs, water fountains, and each other.
Beth.
Mom?
No, no. Go up to your room, honey.
So we have a virus with no treatment protocol and no vaccine at this time.
You had a seizure this morning, Beth.
She had a history of seizures.
No.
Allergies.
As of last night, there are 32 cases.
Unfortunately, she did die.
Right. All right, I know last time when we reviewed, on last episode when we reviewed Red State, we kind of tried to have you start off. You kind of didn't have your thoughts together, so I kind of, whatever. Anyway, I think you should start off right now for the review. So what do you think of it?
I thought it was the most elaborate anti-extramarital sex. You know what I mean? Like, right. Pretty much do not cheat on your spouse, so otherwise you're gonna cause an epidemic.
No,
it was well done. It was a well crafted movie. I loved how they intertwine all these different story elements together.
Yeah,
I mean, so like, and you had all these different side stories going on, but like, it was blended so well that it. I mean, yeah, they all have something connecting, which is this virus.
Yeah.
But, like, you never felt overwhelmed or just, like, lost. You know, it's like, okay, I'm jumping from these character stories to another character story. So, no, it just felt, you know, it was put together well.
Yeah, much. I agree. It was put together well. I want to, like, preface this with, like, going into the film, I had, you know, I kind of read a few things about it, and I knew the film was going to be less about, like, kind of, like, having emotional connections to the characters,
yeah,
and more of, like, just kind of, like, a protocol, just, like, how the virus would spread and, like, the different companies and stuff that would, you know, be in charge of finding out what the virus is, how it works, how it spreads, stuff like that. So I knew it was going to be, like, really emotional as far as characters, like, character-driven, you know what I mean?
That it wasn't?
That it wasn't going to be.
But I thought...
No, I didn't feel it was about. I mean, no, I'm just saying, going in, I knew that's what it was,
yeah.
So that's what I was expecting. I mean, I was ready for that, and I was totally accepting of that, because I like movies like that, that it's not necessarily about, yeah, like this whole, it doesn't have like a really strong emotional aspect, but I don't know, I was really like disappointed in the film, because I didn't feel it was very interesting, you know what I mean? Like, I think most of the film is just, I mean, honestly, it's just showing, like, how the disease spreads from one person to another, and that's just not interesting. I mean,
I disagree with you entirely. First of all, I thought it was very interesting to see the whole, how the contamination process works, and, you know, how it gets from point A to point B and whatnot.
Yeah, but that's, like, not deep. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well,
all it is
well, hold on.
I mean, everybody knows how viruses spread. Everybody knows we're in constant contact with one another. Like, how is that intriguing? How is that compelling?
It doesn't help. I mean, it does help to be reminded of that shit. I mean, it's like, yeah, I need to wash my hands more. I need to, you know, like, take all these precautions, but also...
You don't, though. You don't. Like, if something like this happens, like, it's gonna happen. There's nothing to prevent it. It's just going to happen, you know?
How you prevent it? You could just limit your contact with other people. Well, whatever.
Why would you do that, though? Why? Like,
well, that's what some of these characters.
That's
did.
Stupid. Like, why would you? If
Matt Damon and so my second point was, yeah, I did feel there was emotional connection, particularly to characters like Matt Damon's character.
Yeah, that wasn't strong. That wasn't strong at all, though.
But it was one of the better points of the movie, as far
that
as
was
like,
that was the only emotional aspect
of
the film.
And how about the doctor who discovered the vaccine? Because she tested on herself or whatever.
No, that wasn't done well at all.
Well, I mean, yeah,
her character was not.
It did sort of come out of the left wing a little bit, but I still appreciated it. When that point happens, like, it did feel genuine. Like even the follow up where it's like, she should get all this recognition. You know, like take your bow. You saved a lot of people. She's like, no. I mean, like, all I did was I simply injected myself with the vaccine. I mean, it's like, I don't need a reward for that. I mean, okay. I thought that was really down to earth. Like, I appreciate that a lot.
Well, I mean, the
and the Kate Winslet's character, you know, her dying moment was she was trying to give this guy who was just as sick as she was, you know, she overheard him saying how cold he was, that he wanted an extra blanket. He was just like, he was just really so cold. So her last strength that she used before she died was she tried to take off her blanket and give it to the guy next to her.
I think you're giving the Crip film way too much credit. Just like you give Red State way too much credit, I think.
Well, I mean, this film was done well. I mean,
I appreciated the scope of it, and I appreciated like you have all these characters. I just didn't feel like the subject matter was very compelling. Like, I'm not intrigued by a virus spreading. I mean, how does it get spread? Like, oh, you touch doorknobs, you shake hands, you cough on somebody. Like, that's all. That was the extent of how that virus gets around. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, and then I'm sitting here thinking, why would somebody make take the time to make this movie? Like, why would all these big name actors who don't really have, you know, a lot of screen time?
Yeah.
Why would they all be involved in this film? And to me, I guess what I thought was they really. Again, it's like reminding people, I guess the movie reminded me of how mortal, you know, I am. You know, it's we have all these aspirations or whatever, but like in the flip of a dime, I mean, like you catch this little bug and your whole world is over.
I felt like because in the film
it made me feel insignificant, but again. You know, the way the movie ended, it isn't all hopeless. You know, it's like you fight, you live another day, and
I mean, as far as the impact of the virus itself, like, yeah, I mean, in the film, like, what, over like 26 million people, like, it takes about 26 million people's lives, but like, I never felt that. Like, it, I mean,
well,
the, I mean,
you've seen it before.
The only sense you haven't, like, nothing's. Nothing's
in film.
No virus. I mean, I'm saying no virus has came out where it's killed like that scope of people. I mean, you say in film, in film, that's like a zombie film. You know, that's a comparison you could make. That's the only thing. You know,
yeah.
I just didn't feel that. I mean, I understand that was happening, but I still didn't. I don't know. It just wasn't. I don't know.
I mean, what makes a person say, "Hey, I want to make a movie about, you know, this virus and how blah blah blah"?
I think it's interesting, but I didn't think it was done in a very interesting way. I thought it was done like well from a technical standpoint and stuff, but I don't know, it wasn't that interesting. And the point I wanted to make about like just like when I said like going into the film, like I heard it was like not going to be too much of an emotional aspect to it. Like, do you understand what I'm saying when I say that?
Well, I mean,
because the movie is basically like an examination of how a virus spreads, and your CDC trying to figure out what the virus is. So a lot of a technical side of it. You know what I mean? So that's why it's like, that's why I say it's like more of a cold film, because it's not. It's not about like a family really and how they're affected by that. I mean, there is a very small element in the film that is about that, but overall, the movie is not trying to be that, you know? It's not trying to, you know, say a lot about, like, humanity and, you know, it's just not trying to do that, you know what I mean? Which is fine, like, I was, like, going into
that. I thought
it did. I don't think it did at all. And how? How did it?
Dude, there was so much, you know, raw human elements. I mean, yeah, besides all the other, you know, the obvious.
There was little things. There was little things here and there. There was not. There was no. There was no emotional strong point in this film.
Those little moments definitely mattered. I mean, with Maureen Cotillard's character.
I didn't like her character at all. Like, what was even going on with that? Oh, we're bringing you here because we want you to teach these kids because these are the last. Like what? Like what was that? And then what happens to the kids? Like, you don't ever even find out what happens to the kids.
You don't, but
they just
like,
kind of hint. They just kind of hint at it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That's
not an emotional aspect of the film.
For me, it was.
No.
I mean, I guess you didn't quite. Obviously, you didn't understand.
Okay, maybe it was an aspect, but was it strong?
I thought it was. I mean, it seemed like you didn't totally grasp it. Where it's like, you know, she was there because these people were pretty much looking out for their village. You know, and they thought, hey, if we hold hostage this white woman, or whatever, who's working for, which she hasn't been working for the government or some shit.
Yeah, they kidnapped her pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, but like, they were looking after for the well-being of their own village, or why not? You know, they're people too, they have every right to, you know, to try to survive as everyone else does, so mm-hmm. This is the path they chose, you know, to kidnap somebody. You know, and she saw their plight, you know. She was like, oh, I mean, these are just simple villagers who want to live just like everybody else, you know. So it definitely seemed like she was in agreement to the situation. It was like
I mean, she didn't seem like she was being held against her will or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very... We're talking about this, but I, like, it was such a small part of the film.
Because there was all the other parts of the film, but like...
That were not good.
I thought it was really... So freaking impactful when you find out that the package that was delivered wasn't the vaccine that they were hoping for, that they were tricked, and just like the whole look in her face and just like how she just like totally drops and when you know in her face, you know how okay she just saw a ghost or something, she just gets up and runs away. I mean, you don't know really what to, you have an idea, but I thought that was done really well. I mean, I don't know.
I just couldn't connect to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then you know, no, I like, I felt like it was a cold movie, which is fine. I just, you know, that to me, it wasn't. No. the comparison I wanted to make, which I don't know, it seems kind of silly me making the comparison now, but like, I compare it to like a David Fincher film, because David Fincher, like, he makes really cold movies. You know what I mean? Like, he made Social Network. There's not really too much of an emotional element to that. He made Zodiac. And there's not emotional element. It's more of like a procedural. You know, you have Social Network where they're just kind of examining these two lawsuits that were going on and just kind of the interplay between that. But outside of that, there's not really much except the stuff with Mark Zuckerberg and his girlfriend or whatever. And then you have Zodiac, which is just about these guys getting lost, you know, in this case, like losing their lives to it. And I just felt like this movie was going for the same thing to me, but there was nothing compelling about it. Unlike those films where I found this stuff, the subject matter, endlessly compelling. Like, to me, the subject matter was not compelling. Like, just the whole idea of a virus spreading is just, it's not deep. Like, I know how viruses spread, you know? I mean, the only thing I kind of think about, like, whenever you hear about, like, the swine flu and stuff like that, it's like, you kind of seem detached from it because it really doesn't affect you, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, there's a people whose lives it actually does affect and people who die, but, like, it doesn't affect me. So it is kind of interesting to see a film that kind of shows like the effects of it, but I don't know, to me it wasn't compelling at all.
I mean, and also for me, like, watching this type of film makes me think of my own mortality and think, okay, what would I do if I do find myself in this situation, if I do find myself in the middle of an epidemic, like how am I going to survive? And that's what I mean. I think those are very important thoughts to have, you know, and if you need to sit down and watch a movie like Contagion to have those thoughts. I mean, like, if this will keep you a step ahead, then, you know, so be it.
I guess. I think you did a good job, like, defending the film, but I don't know. I just, it's a simple matter of me just not finding the subject matter compelling enough to recommend it, I guess.
So this is a simple case to agree to disagree, then?
Yeah. So, out of any last words?
Well, besides this movie being this long-winded thing against Gwyneth Paltrow cheating on Matt Damon, and then when they do the whole ending where it's like where the virus actually came from, like the exact moment, it's like, okay, so should we hate bats or should we hate pigs? Like is this the reason why Jews don't eat pigs?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Like, that whole ending is cool. It's like that whole ending just like cemented like my feelings about the film. It just felt like Soderbergh thought like the way this stuff spreads is so interesting. It's not. You know, it's not.
I mean, to some people, it is obviously.
Oh yeah, it's fine. This is all subjective. This is all subjective.
He made a whole freaking movie about it.
It's all subjective.
All these other A-listers involved.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't make it interesting. Even if some people find it interesting, it doesn't make it interesting.
Oh my god.
And even if I say it isn't interesting, it doesn't make it not interesting.
Wait.
This is all subjective. So who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
This is my opinion. So that's my opinion.
Okay. Jason,
I did not find it interesting. The guy who's reviewing the movie did not find it interesting. You did.
I found it.
And it doesn't matter. People found it interesting. I didn't find it interesting.
Okay, anyway. That was a good one.
That was alright. So out of five, I don't have, like, I guess those were my last words, so whatever.
Alright, I will give this movie a 4.5. Yeah.
I'm gonna give it, I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5. You know, it was well made, but just not compelling enough. Alright, well, moving on.
Well, I would like to move on real quick to the trailers before this movie. John Carter, that looks freaking awesome, dude.
No.
I thought.
I mean, I'm interested, but that trailer's not awesome.
Yeah, I think the trailer's very awesome. Like, it reminds me, like, the best, it reminds me of movies like Aladdin. I'm trying to think of another male-geared movie that, like, did really well. I guess Aladdin is a good, it's good enough movie to use, because, I mean, again, this is Walt Disney Company, and just how they presented this whole thing, to me, it looks like a film like Aladdin, but, like, taken to a more extreme action level, you know what I mean?
I guess.
I mean, because, like, the movie, it looks like it's set on Mars, right?
Yeah, I mean, the movie's, like, it's based on
John Carter of Mars. Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's called John Carter for some reason.
Yeah, how there's all these, like, wicked, fantastical imagery, like, there's a quick image of, like, it looks like an empress, all in white or whatever, just the way they showed her real quick, and I, and what the main character is standing over, like, these ruins, and the ruins start glowing or whatever.
That looked awesome. But yeah. I don't know, somebody, like, the part where, like, there's these creatures, like, just running at him, like, a whole line of things just running at him, that looked cheesy.
Oh, yeah.
There was a shot of this, like, weird-looking alien, like, with a gun in his hand, and I didn't like the effects on that. I don't like the design either. But no, I mean, I'm interested in the movie.
Yeah, it looks really engaging. It looks like a really adventurous movie.
Did you see anything else? Adventurous?
I don't
remember what I saw. I saw it in the Dark Knight Rises trailer again, but it's nothing special.
Oh, that new Sarah Jessica Parker film. It's like, oh, why does anyone keep her on film anymore?
I didn't think that movie looked that bad.
No, her face, though.
Her face didn't look that bad in that movie either.
The color of her face is like, oh my god, how does Matthew Broderick wake up and look at this face?
Well, Matthew Broderick's not looking kind of rough lately nowadays as well. So,
I don't know. With that movie, I'm sorry, Jessica Parker, but with that movie, what's that fucking movie called? How Does She Do It? Yeah,
I don't know how she does it.
I don't know how she does
it. I think it's a good movie about, like.
Yeah, it looks
like,
cute.
Like a wife who just does everything, has kids that need to keep her marriage alive. Like, it's all right.
I guess it's going to do well with the Sex and the City.
Exactly. She's like the same character from that movie. But anyway, anything else?
I feel like there was, but I can't remember. You want to go ahead?
No. I don't know. I don't remember any. I mean, most of the trailers I saw in front of it were trailers I've seen before, so it was nothing.
There was at least one more I wanted to.
There's one. You see the Tinker Soldier Spy something?
Huh?
Tinker Tailor something. Mm-hmm. It's like, it kind of reminds me of that movie that just came out with I don't fucking know, what's his face from Avatar? What's that dude's face from Terminator? Sam Worthington.
Yeah. Sam Worthington. There we go.
Well, no, there's a movie that just came out. It's kind of like set during the Cold War times. It's kind of like a spy movie. But it has, like, an amazing cast. It's got, like, Gary Oldman, Tom Hardy's in it. It was, like, it's just a cast of a bunch of old dudes, but they're all awesome actors. But I'm failing to think of the names right now. But it looks awesome. It comes out in December.
The trailer...
Or November, or something like that.
The trailer for the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo was pretty awesome.
That trailer's amazing.
How they cut it, the music. It was like a really awesome music video.
Yeah. I love the end where it's like... Dude. Fucking Fincher's the man. Anyway, guess we move on to what we watched. We recorded this past Thursday, so it's only been like 4 days. So,
well, there was, I haven't really watched that much. I've watched during my hiatus that I didn't mention last time. Okay. I guess I'll go first.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was over here in your house at some point during the summer, and I'm flipping through your Netflix like choices or whatever.
Yeah.
And a title that catches my eye is Jim Henson's Storyteller. The Storyteller.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much that the poster for this for the show it's just the title, Jim Henson's The Storyteller. But if you plaster something with the word story on it, I'm gonna be automatically drawn to it. Yeah. Anyways, so I went home, I downloaded it, I think the first season, and it was pretty awesome. I don't know why I haven't heard of this show before. I was like so ashamed. So Jim Henson's The Storyteller is I think it was a show that aired
in Europe.
In England mostly, yeah. I guess. Well, in Europe, and it's just pretty much lesser known fairy tales retold through Jim Henson through his awesome puppeteering work,
yeah,
and live action,
yeah,
and I loved every moment of it. I mean, it's like I still don't know why we don't use more puppeteering. I mean, it's like he definitely was a master at it,
yeah.
And you know, all these people he had working for him, you know, creating these puppets. I mean, just the details and how they work, it was like it's impeccable work. I mean, it's like it's way better than CGI to me.
Well, it's real, so there's no flaws, you know.
One of my favorite stories was called The Three Ravens, and this story is about this princess and her three brothers, how their father remarries to this wicked woman who's really after, you know, just building her own, like, kingdom or whatever. So, like, she should be surreptitious and, like, marry her way through all these different kings and inherit the kingdoms.
Yeah.
So she tried to eliminate the kids by turning them all into ravens, but she only was able to turn the three male heirs into ravens. She didn't get the princess, so she runs away. But, the princess later finds her brothers in their raven forms, and they tell her the only way to break the spell is you have to keep your mouth shut for 3 years. Like, you can't say anything to anybody. Like, not one word. So she makes the promise to never say anything to anybody for three years.
Yeah.
So during that time, she's living on her own in the woods, and the prince stumbles upon her, and he falls in love with her or whatever. Even though she never breaks her vow, you know, she never says anything to him.
Yeah.
But he marries her, and they're pretty in love. And she pops out a kid, but coincidentally, the same wicked woman that married the girl's father, she remarried again to her husband's father.
Okay.
So she's the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
But and she can't say anything because of this promise to break the spell.
Okay.
So, and the woman, this wicked woman, she's played, she was in Sleepy Hollow. She was, like, the bad woman in Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know how she looks, yeah.
Yeah. But, so, she was awesome as this wicked queen. Anyway, so the queen, she knows she has the upper hand because she knows the princess can't say anything.
Yeah.
So after the first child is born, it goes missing, and the princess knows who did it. It was the wicked queen, but yeah. She couldn't say anything, so everyone blamed her. But everything calmed down. Everything diffused. Like, okay, things happen. Whatever. Babies go missing all the time. So she popped out another kid, and lo and behold, it happens again, where the baby goes missing, and there's talk of witchcraft that the princess, she's really crazy, she's murdering her babies. So her husband, he's having his doubts, and the wicked queen, she's feeding him all this, like, these horrible thoughts. It's like, oh, I think she really is crazy. I think she really is a murderer. It's like, we need to keep a close eye on her. So the third kid comes around, and he goes missing too.
Yeah.
So the prince, he goes, okay, that's it. You're not telling me what's happening. We're missing babies, so you must be a witch. We have to burn you. So I guess I have to wrap up this story.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't want to ruin the ending.
Why do you tell the whole story if you don't want to ruin the ending?
Well, I guess if you guys really are interested, watch it. I mean, you're intrigued, aren't you?
Yeah, I was intrigued. So you told me the whole story.
Now you have to watch it.
Unbelievable.
It was really great, dude. The series, the story.
I've only seen one show. I don't remember what it was about, but I loved it a lot.
Which one did you see?
I don't remember. I think it was a guy who, like, I don't know. He, like, wished. Like, he was able to live forever or something. Some shit like that.
Doesn't ring a bell.
It was really good. I don't remember.
Jim Henson, the storyteller, worth watching. You know, it's storytelling at its finest, through the use of Jim Henson's classic puppeteering.
Yes.
All right.
Anything else you see?
No.
I don't have much to talk about. Well, I guess I'll get into my review of The Warrior. Here it goes. Anyway, I don't know if I'm going to add anything. Anyway, The Warrior, starring Tom Hardy, Joel Edgerton, and Mr. Nick Nolte. Good old Nick Nolte. I saw a movie a few weeks ago at a screening, which was actually kind of a shitty screening because the people behind me were just fucking ridiculous. Like, they brought a kid, and the kid was talking throughout the whole movie. And they were cheering. Like, I mean, it's basically the film is like an anime version of Rocky, you know, mixed martial arts version of Rocky. It's about these two brothers who kind of had a falling out, and Nick Nolte plays their alcoholic father, and they kind of all, like, their entire family had a falling out. So it's just kind of about them, you know, coming back into each other.
Nick Nolte could always be counted upon to play the...
He's awesome.
To play the drunken guy.
But it's like, it's just kind of about this family kind of like, not really coming together, but just kind of clashing again and kind of trying to make amends and trying to repair the relationships that they have to one another. But you have these two brothers, Joe Edgerton and Tom Hardy, and they basically, for one reason or another, they both have their reasons, they enter this tournament where it's like a round of 16, winner take all, $5 million prize, you know, which is unheard of in UFC. Like, those guys don't make a lot of money. $5 million is like a ridiculous amount for them. So one thing leads to another where Nick Nolte ends up training Tom Hardy, and Joe Edgerton ends up also being able to get into the tournament somehow. It's kind of unbelievable that these guys would be chosen out of 16 people in the entire world to be part of the tournament, but like, that doesn't really matter. You don't really think too much about that.
Is it based on true story or not?
No, it's purely fictional. But like, the movie's awesome. I thought it was going to be more of a Tom Hardy-like vehicle, like it was going to be more about him, but it's a lot more about Joe Edgerton, and like, dude's awesome. He, like, do you know Joe Edgerton? He was in Animal Kingdom. He was in Animal Kingdom. Did you see Animal Kingdom?
Yeah.
From last year? He was the first brother that dies in the film.
The Australian film, right?
Yes. He's the first brother that gets one in the grocery store parking lot. Like, he's awesome. He's going to be in the Thing prequel that's coming out soon.
The Thing? Okay.
So hopefully he starts getting more name recognition because he's awesome. Like,
that's what I see this movie as too, as this name recognition game for Tom Hardy. There's definitely a lot of people interested in Tom Hardy because, you know, he is the main bad guy in the upcoming film.
Yeah, I mean, he's already getting up there. You know,
exactly.
He was in Inception, and like, I don't know if people really knew his name. I'm sure people really liked his character in that film, and then now he has this, and this is just gonna bring him.
Let's not forget what brought him into people's attention.
Yeah, Bronson.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
which I haven't seen it. Yeah. I mean, it was just kind of a shame.
I've seen it. It's not a film I like, but like, his performance is ridiculous.
Force, right?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. So like, in this movie, he has like so much presence and everything. I mean, he's not into it. He's not in it. I mean, he's in it, but he's not. I just thought it would be more about him, and it's really not. But like, when he's whenever he's on screen, like, he just controls, you know, he just controls it. But what else did I say about the movie? But yeah, like going into the movie, I thought it would be more, I don't know what it means when I say this, but like kind of more indie sensibilities. I didn't know it was just going to be a kind of a feel-good movie. I mean, it is from the director of Miracle, the hockey film, which is also a really great film.
I know what you mean, though.
But I mean, that's definitely how it's being marketed. But I don't know, just given the talent involved, I thought it would be more like a quieter film, more
less mainstream, like, less feel good.
Yeah, and like more in depth with like kind of the emotions of what's going on with having an alcoholic father and stuff like that.
Well, I think if the major wave this movie is riding on is Tom Hardy and his star power, which seems to be on the rise, I mean, for good reason. So,
well, I like the fact that that's going to get people in theaters, but I also like that Joe Edgerton's going to get a lot of recognition for this as well, because like he's fucking great, you know what I mean? And it's really cool, like the actual tournament at the end, it's really exciting. Like the fight choreography is awesome. And like you really, there's also like unpredictability. I mean, unfortunately the trailer ruins it, where you know they're gonna meet at the end, they're gonna be brother versus brother. But even knowing that, you watch the film and it's still exciting, like to see the tournament play out, you still are like unsure. And they just shot it really exciting. And then again, you have the final fight, and like they both had their reasons, so you're kind of rooting for both of them. I mean, I knew who I was rooting for, but it's still like you didn't know who's gonna win, so it was kind of cool.
Really, you really didn't know who's gonna win after?
No, they're two brothers. Like,
well, yeah, but like
they both have their reasons and they're legitimate. I mean, that's the only thing.
Tom Hardy is the main character, so you know he's gonna win. Well, I guess
you have to see the film.
Yeah,
but like,
I guess I can't say anything.
No,
I have to watch the
Tom
film.
Hardy is not the main character. Like to me, he's secondary. Like
really?
Like Joe Edgerton, he is the main character because he's fighting for his family. Tom Hardy's more, he's a veteran. He's a veteran of the war. No, he's a veteran of the war, and so he has reasons why he wants to win the money. But I don't want to ruin that because that's kind of like the reveal of his character and what his character is about and everything, which I actually felt like once it's revealed, like where he came from and like kind of what led him to this point, it's pretty, I didn't care for that like story turn as much, so that's why I found myself rooting for this other guy, because he's just trying to support his family, you know. He's losing his home, he needs some money, he needs it for his family, and he's doing everything for them, you know what I mean? So it was a lot easier for me to root for Joe Edgerton's character, as much as Tom Hardy was awesome and a badass. He's just kind of a badass, you know what I mean? And that's all it is. But he's amazing. I'm not trying to take away anything from him. Like, he's amazing. But yeah, I mean, it's a good movie. I gave it like a 4 out of 5. You know, I kind of went back and forth on it. I mean, I definitely loved the film, but I was expecting like top caliber, best of the year, and just it wasn't quite there for me as far as that. But it's still a really great film. So 4 out of 5 for me. And then I watched All the President's Men because I had always heard that David Fincher got a lot of inspiration when he did Zodiac. Like the films are very similar, and also, you know, with Soderbergh's film Contagion, like I knew it was kind of like the same thing, where it's kind of more like.
Oh, who directed this film?
I don't know. I probably should have made note of that, but it's a '70s film. I think it won Best Picture the year it came out. It stars. Oh no, Robert Redford was one of the directors. It was directed by two people.
Yeah.
I think a chick and him or some whatever. So Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman like play these journalists during the Watergate scandal. You know, like Nixon. I never really knew what the Watergate scandal was. But it was basically like the Republicans, because there was a presidential race coming up soon. So the Republicans were like fucking tapping. I mean, and I might be wrong about these details, but they were like tapping into all this Democratic shit, just basically trying to spy.
Yeah.
And like.
And some of it was caught spying.
Like taking all these funds to do that. You know what I mean? So it's just about them trying to find out like what happened, like, and shit. And I don't know. It definitely reminded me of Zodiac because it's about two journalists, and like the whole movie is just them, you know, trying to piece together the pieces. They're like these young journalists who are just trying to make a name for themselves and stuff. And I don't know. I was, unfortunately, like when I was watching the movie, I was kind of half paying attention to it because I was on my dad's phone talking on Facebook to I was talking on Facebook to a guy from Film Junk about Paradise Lost. We were kind of debating Paradise Lost, like whether or not, because he had just seen the third film at TIFF, China International Film Festival. So we were kind of, I was kind of doing that while I was watching the film, which was not a good way to watch it. Like, it's a film you definitely have to pay, like, deep attention to. But I still liked it a lot. And it was just really cool how, because, like, part of being a journalist, like, you have to be, like, a really good detective and, like, a really good actor, like, to get the information you want out of people. Yeah. And just that aspect of the film is just really fucking cool.
You just brought me back to Contagion, because I totally forgot to mention
Jude Law. I mean, he was cool, but there was, I don't know. What was up with his fake teeth? Like, what was up with that? Yeah. That was so distracting. I'm like, why did they need to put fake teeth on this guy?
You know, the whole time I was sitting there, I was like, is that really how his teeth are?
There's no way. Like, he would notice that.
Yeah. I guess to give him more of this bummy, I mean, just this guy who charismatic guy who just knew what to say and, like, how to manipulate. You know,
no, he was good. Like, I thought, like, I don't know. I was believing the shit he was saying. You know what I mean? But
yeah, probably because, you know, he had some rough ass teeth going on.
But it was but yeah, it was good. All the President's Men. It's a good movie. No, he was all right. He wasn't in a lot. So, and like his character, didn't have a, like, it didn't go anywhere satisfying with that character. It was just. I don't think any Contagion. It wasn't interesting to me, period.
Well, no, I definitely agree with you on that. Like,
he just kind of gets taken away, and that's it.
They kind of end his whole story flat. Yeah. But I did enjoy how they wrapped up, you know, that one guy, that one black guy that was working with Kate Winslet's character.
Lawrence Fishburne. That one black guy, his name is Lawrence Fishburne. He was good. He was good. I enjoyed his character because...
I have horrible memory right now. But actually, yeah, how can I forget Crater Face? Because, like, I remember looking at him sometimes, it's like, wow, that's a really big ass hole.
It's not as bad as Matrix. As he looked in the Matrix, he didn't look that bad.
But I liked how they wrapped up Mr. Lawrence Fishburne's character's whole side story, you know, with, like, he had that janitor.
Yeah.
It was like, whatever. And he helped out the janitor by vaccinating his janitor's son.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then he had a nice little moment with his wife. I mean, Lawrence Fishburne had a nice moment with his own wife, not the janitor's wife.
Yeah.
Anyways,
what else I watched? Not much. Today I watched the final of the U.S. Open. That was pretty exciting, but... didn't end how I wanted it to end. Djokovic won, Nadal lost for the sixth time in a row. Like, I don't know. They're like rivals, but now Djokovic has his number, so.
So it's kind of exciting.
Well, I mean, it was an exciting match, but the guy I wanted to win didn't win. You know, so.
That's how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah. Good. And then, of course, the NFL football season started, and I just love football. I love football.
And I see yesterday's. Game, but
that was a good game.
Yeah,
I mean the Bears are a good team. Like they're gonna be fine, but I don't know. I think like when I think about football, like it brings back like a lot of memories of like my childhood and just watching football. I mean, there's also like a negative, like I have a negative connotation to football because like I would always watch on Sunday and then when the game was over, like it's 4 or 5 o'clock and then you know you got to go back to school the next day. It was kind of like a shitty feeling. So sometimes I get that feeling like. After the Bears game is over, you know, whenever they have a game like at 12 o'clock and then the game's over, you just kind of get that feeling. But then I also used to play football, like, in the street and stuff like that with my friends, so, I don't know, just like, I mean, football is clearly, football is America's pastime, like, people used to always say baseball is, like, football is and has been for years now, and it's just, there's nothing like it, you know.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone, you know, because obviously there's a lot of, you're not the only football fan.
Yeah,
a lot of people are getting excited about it for good reason. So,
yeah, but it's a good start so far. Peyton Manning's out, my favorite player. He got injured. Like he had a consecutive game streak. Like he was on a streak, like gonna break the record to how many games you've started without basically consecutive games you've started. But he has a neck injury. He's probably gonna be out all year. They say 2 to 3 months, but it's a neck injury, like that's serious shit. So that kind of sucks that he's. It just doesn't feel the same without him being there. But other than that, football's great.
He's gone for only 3 weeks on his injury, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like there's guys like the type of injury he has. There's some guys where it basically ended their career, and he's getting old. You know, he's getting old, so it's like it could go either way. You don't know how it's gonna play out. You know. But that's pretty much all I watched because it's only been 4 days. I've been kind of lazy, so and I haven't had the internet, so I can't like watch. I wasn't able to finish Ramsay's Best Restaurant because I can't watch it, and I can't watch Hell's Kitchen because.
Well, I've been enjoying Adventure Time. You know, I'm a fucking diehard Adventure Time fan. Like at the moment, I saw the first couple of episodes. Like I knew this show was gonna, you know, was awesome. It was going to be awesome. And like they're already into the third season, and it's just been solid. I mean, all these shows, for the most part, you know, have been like. What's great about Adventure Time is the humor, I guess.
Yeah.
Involved, like at times it's really, it could be really adult, but because of the setting and the characters, like, you never get offended by it.
Yeah.
You know. The latest episode that they just aired was pretty much this whole gender swapped version of Adventure Time, of what Adventure Time has been thus far.
Yeah.
But this one show, they turned it around. Like in a regular Adventure Time, the main characters are Finn and Jake. Finn the human boy and Jake the magical dog. Mm-hmm. But in the gender swap version, it's Fiona the human girl and Cake the cat. And it was just pretty cool, just to see all these gender swap versions of all your favorite characters. But it still had that magic of what makes Adventure Time so great. I mean, it is kind of hard to totally shift your attention to these totally new cast of characters. I mean, they definitely do feel familiar, you know, because they do borrow a lot from their counterparts.
Yeah.
But I guess what I enjoyed most about it was how they didn't make Fiona this this girly girl who's waiting for her prince. I mean, it starts off that way. But, like, when she makes her realization, she's like, you know, screw this, you know, it's like, I'm not gonna wait around for a guy, I'm just gonna enjoy my life, and, you know, whoever wants to be a part of it, it's gonna be a part of it. Other than that, you know, I don't need somebody to make me feel fulfilled. I thought that was a pretty cool message. But the very last moment of that whole episode was they totally brought it back to,
okay.
Well, no. Finn and Jake,
okay.
and the Ice King, who are the original characters, and I just love how they ended. Where it's like the whole story that you just witnessed was Ice King's fan fiction that he wrote for Finn and Jake, and he had them frozen in blocks of ice, so they would stay put long enough for him to read the whole story out to them. He's like, oh, so guys, what do you think? He's like, yeah, it's great. Now let's out loud. That was pretty funny. Adventure Time. I can't believe you're still not into it.
No, I don't think it's for me.
Because
I really
don't
think it's for me. No. Anyway, I think next, I'm going to use it for next episode, but I'm going to kind of record a little summer movie review, kind of discussing my thoughts on the various films this summer.
Podcast?
Yeah, we'll do it next one. Also on next episode, we're going to have a review of Nicholas Winding Refn's Drive. I need to see more of his films. He did like Bronson, and he did something.
Oh, I
didn't
see Bronson.
He did the Pusher trilogy, but I've never seen it. So, but
the Pusher.
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll have a review of that, and I'm also going to be seeing Moneyball early, so I'll do my little mini review of Moneyball, starring Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. It's a baseball movie. It's about an owner who turned around the Oakland A's. It's based on a true story. It comes out not this Friday, the following Friday.
Okay.
It's supposed to be pretty awesome. Aaron Sorkin did the script. You know Aaron Sorkin, Social Network.
Okay.
He did. Yeah. But I'm seeing that tomorrow, actually, a screening. And Jonah Hill's going to be there for a Q&A.
Uh-huh.
You know Jonah Hill?
He's a fat guy.
Well, he's not fat anymore. But when he did this movie, he was very fat. But he's skinny now, so he looks kind of creepy. But anyway, we'll have a review of that. So yeah, that's pretty much our episode. Kind of do a few plugs here.
It's a full moon outside, people.
Okay, what does that mean?
I love the full moon.
But yeah, if you guys want to contact us, thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com. We're also looking for people to be on the episode. We're going to be trying to set it up where we could have people on over Skype. I only want to do like one at a time. So maybe we could get some people who are interested in film and get them on here. So it's not just me and Rudy. Yeah. But anyway, you can email us there, thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com. We have a Facebook and a Twitter account. You can follow us on there. We also have our blog, our website, filmclubpodcast.blogspot.com. You can see us there. That's where we post the episodes. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. We're on there. While you're there, you know, why don't you write a review? Tell us what you think of the show. Good or bad, you know, any feedback, good feedback. Yeah. Take care. We'll see. Yeah. Take care. See you guys next Tuesday.